Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:30 p.m. and it is Monday, April 17, 2023. Before we begin, I want to thank Joanna Crissett, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Kelsey Riker from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin, and myself, Senator Klayman. Senator Kaufman is presenting a bill in another committee, and Senator Keel is sitting on the Finance Committee hearing Senator Kaufman's bill. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is confirmation hearings. The President has referred the following governor's appointments to the Judiciary Committee, the Alaska Judicial Council, and the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association. Members have received resumes of the applications from each appointee. The appointees are either online or in person. We will now open public testimony. For those appointees on the phone, please make sure you are not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not as clear and is often difficult to hear what you're saying. But our first nominee is in the room, Mr. DeWitt, if you would please come forward. He's been nominated to serve on the Alaska Judicial Council. And once you arrive, if you want to state your name for the record, you can proceed with your testimony. And I note that Senator Kaufman has joined us at least until he gets called away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dennis DeWitt. I'm honored by the governor's appointment to the Alaska Judicial Council. My wife, Patsy, and I have lived in Juneau. Two of our children, their spouses, and four children, grandchildren, live here as well. I first arrived in Juneau in 1980, was outside from mid-86 to 91, and have been here since that time. I'm a graduate of Sacramento State College in 1970 with a major in government and a minor in economics. I've worked in or around government most of my career. In Alaska, I've been the director of the Division of Pioneer Benefits, a special assistant to Governor Murkowski, legislative staff, including 4 years lead staff as the House operating budget. As staff to the House Finance Committee, I became familiar with the court's budget, including the Alaska Judicial Council. In addition, I've served as a lobbyist and an association manager. I believe my background prepares me well for the responsibilities of a member of the Alaska Judicial Council. My responsibilities include the ability to listen, review pertinent information, remember the diversity of our state, and make fair recommendations on judicial applicants. Thank you for your time.
Questions from members of the committee for Mr. DeWitt? See any questions for Senator Giesel? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. DeWitt, the Judicial Council is, in some quarters, a controversial entity. What would your position be on the deletion of the Judicial Council and its authority to put forth names to the governor?
Through the chair, I don't think it would be a wise decision. I think the process of reviewing candidates and making recommendations has worked generally well over time. My concern, one of the things I've discussed with many members, I think, one, the Judicial Council needs to work on being more open and transparent. I think that addresses an awful lot of concerns and questions. It would be my hope that we might be able to send more recommendations to the governor than typically we have in the past.
Paula?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. DeWitt, I appreciate your comment about transparency. Would you support the idea, perhaps, of the council putting out a press release occasionally talking about the vote, what the votes were like when they forward a name? For example, was it 3-2 with the non-attorney members disagreeing with the attorneys? Do you see what I mean? There's a lot of consternation that the attorneys run the show, so to speak, on the Judicial Council. So what about an idea like that? What would you think?
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, all the votes are a matter of public record. To the extent that we have
the capability to do PR, press releases, those kinds of things. And I hope that we do. I'm certainly new and learning something that would be very appealing to me. I think that as a matter of my philosophy and what I see to be public policy, the more open, the more inclusive you can be, the better off. This little operation that we all work in called state government, not mine, not yours, it belongs to the people of Alaska, and they have a right to be informed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Tobin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I'm curious, in exploring this idea of open and transparent a little bit more, as has been mentioned now that the votes are part of the public record, and you've mentioned that you're hopeful that the council could be more open and transparent. And can you expound a little bit more on what you see as the lack of transparency or lack of openness that currently exists and what you might do to help address that?
Well, I think one of the things that I can do is make sure that when the council goes into executive session, it is for those things that are clearly inappropriate for public discussion as opposed to uncomfortable for public discussion. I think that when one has a question about whether or not that ought to be subject to the executive session, I think those are things that need to be raised in the executive session to move that information out to the public as much as possible.
Paula?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so please help me just so I can make sure that I'm understanding what your intent is what I'm hearing is that you consider some of the actions the council has been doing without prudence, that they've been going into executive session without the need or consideration of what might be considered privilege or not. Is that where you're lending toward, or are you saying that you might not know and you're hopeful that you can bring that transparency through your personal background and intent?
Through the chair, Senator, probably a little of both. I was sworn in last Thursday night. We had a meeting. We went into executive session to discuss litigation strategy, which was appropriate. I will be honest with you, there was a comment that I want to follow up on. I was uncomfortable. The more I thought about it, it didn't strike me at the time, but I'm more aware now than what I was then. As I kind of reflected, it was, as you might guess, it was a very new experience. Got sworn in, we had to discuss some things, and it was a minor thing, but it just seemed to me that I need to have some conversation about that going forward. That's kind of where I am.
So following up on that question from Senator Tobin, as I understand the council traditions, when they're discussing kind of the strengths and weaknesses of different judicial nominees, that's traditionally done in executive session. So, and I've always understood that to be to allow the members of the council to be more free in exchanging their views of the strengths and weaknesses of candidates. Is your view in terms of executive session that all those discussions should be taking place in a public environment, or do you think it's appropriate for the council to have those discussions about strengths and weaknesses more in executive session so the council members feel more free to express their perspectives?
Mr. Chair, I believe that those should be in executive session.
Okay. And then you're saying in terms of the picks, perhaps a little more explanation about the decisions behind who was more qualified and who was less qualified, but the actual discussion, some of that give and take discussion, you do think should stay in executive session?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. And then you were talking about more names to the governor, and you and I have had lots of conversations over lots of things over many years, so I have to confess on this particular issue, I'm a little unclear whether it's a council rule or whether it's statute. But I know the standard that the council applies in nominating judges is a most they nominate the at least two who are among the most qualified, as opposed to simply qualified. And I think that's an area that you were being somewhat critical of, that perhaps they should look, they should send more names rather than less names. But my query, and I acknowledge, I don't can't tell you today whether it's in council regulations or whether it's state statute, but I am confident that Colonel Lee says that nominees will be among the most qualified. If that standard doesn't change, either by legislature or by judicial council rule, would you be comfortable continuing to apply that standard if that's the standard that the council uses in making its decisions, even though you may disagree with that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me address that in a little different way.
Sure.
Neither you nor I have sat in on those sessions, and so there is some mystery in a lot of people's belief. Let me answer one of the other questions. That regulation is...
You think it's a regulation?
It is a regulation, okay. In the regulations that have been adopted. How that's interpreted is another question. There are many folks who believe that if you have five applicants and you have rating somebody on a 1 to 5 scale, and you have 2 5s and 2 4.75s, the council would opt simply to send 2. My inclination is that probably I would be more inclined philosophically to send 5. On the other hand, if we had, by the same rating system, 2 5s and 2 2s, I think I'd probably be inclined to go with the 2 5s. So my conversation on this has always been, do you have to be a 5 to be a good, competent judge, or does a 4.75 bring most of the skills, if not all the same skills? And so it's in that kind of an area that I have some concern. I've had those concerns for a number of years.
But it sounds like you're comfortable continuing to apply the regulation as adopted by the council until such time as it changes the regulation. You might take a different perspective on what it means to be among the most qualified, but you would, in the example you gave, you would be, if you had, say, a 5 people and two of them were 5, 2 of them were 4.75, and 1 of them was 3, it sounds like you would probably be pretty comfortable forwarding 4 of them, but not the one that was a 3. And you might or might not agree with all members of the council as to the 4.75s and the 5s.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's exactly where I am.
And then I'll ask my last question, which hopefully you would describe this as a softball. Your daughter is the Deputy Attorney General, Corey Mills. Were she applied for a position on the judiciary, would you feel you would have to recuse yourself from deliberations on the Judicial Council?
I'll give you a serious answer because we're in session. Absolutely.
Thank you. I was pretty sure that was the answer.
I have a deal with my daughter when she got her law license because she scares the stuffing out of me. I helped her through law school. She promised never to be on the other side of the table.
So you, by taking this job, you're precluding her application to become a judge. You don't have to answer that.
Being a good and loving father, I'd have to consider if that was something she wanted to do, whether I wanted to continue.
Well, that was somewhat more on the lighter side, but I appreciate your service and appreciate your application. I don't see, oh, Senator Giesel.
Could I ask just one more question? Mr. DeWitt, you currently serve on the Alaska Labor Relations Board. Thank you for doing that. Would you continue service on that board?
Actually, through the chair, actually, Senator, I've resigned from that. The statute and the Constitution require that if you serve on the Judicial Council, you can't serve on other councils, be employed by the state or the federal government.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much and for your application. And we won't take up the other public testimony until after we've heard from Mr. Granger.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. And next we're going to go to Bill Granger, who has been reappointed to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar. Mr. Granger should be online, actually on the phone. I would note that this is a reapplication. Mr. Granger has served on the Board of Governors so long that he was on the Board of Governors when I was on the Board of Governors, and I believe he has now been reappointed by at least four governors to this position, but it may be more than that. Mr. Granger, if you're online, please identify yourself for the record, and please proceed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is William Granger, and perhaps I was on the Board of Governors before you were on the Board of Governors. I'm not sure, but anyway, we certainly enjoyed having you and miss your guidance in that regard. I am pleased and honored to be renominated by the governor and sit before you today for consideration of that nomination. As noted, I've been doing it now for approximately 20 years, give or take, and have found it to be pretty rewarding and important public service. Most of my tenure on the board has been service as the treasurer of the organization, and I've watched it, grow, mature financially, become more sophisticated in its financial dealings and more stable in its financial position. And I'm proud to have been a part of that happening. Anyway, I'm a lifelong Alaskan, a banker by trade. Went to work for a little bank when I was in high school called Matanuska Valley Bank. And spent most of my career with National Bank of Alaska, which was later acquired by Wells Fargo Bank. I'm a credit person, policies, procedures, credit underwriting, and approval. That was my main functions in those organizations. So I'm pleased to answer any questions you might have, and thank you.
Questions from the committee for Mr. Granger? I will just ask, I think I ask it every time, as a public member on the Board of Governors, the three public members are in a distinct minority in terms of numbers on the board. Have you found that being in that minority makes it difficult for you to have influence with the lawyers on the board? Are you able to get some of your things passed, even though it may not seem that way when you start out?
I think, thank you for that question. I think that the public members' influence on the board is very prevalent. And I feel that, that the public members are listened to and, many times, sway, the board, whether that just be tweaking some activity that they're looking at or actually bringing, around, some new, motion. So I am pleased that the attorney members listen to and have respect for the public members' opinion. It works well.
Thank you very much. I don't see that brings up any other questions. We're going to now move on to public testimony. If you're on the phone, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone. I'll first ask, is there anyone in the room that would like to provide public testimony as to either Mr. Granger or Mr. DeWitt? See no one in the room. Is there anyone on the phone who would like to provide testimony? I don't show anybody on the screen wanting to testify, so I'm going to close public testimony. And any final comments from members of the committee? Senator Tobin.
The Judiciary Committee, having reviewed the qualifications for the governor's appointees, and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Dennis DeWitt to the Alaska Judicial Council and William Granger to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
The names will be forwarded to the joint session. Please be sure to sign the confirmation committee report, which we'll probably pass around while we're still here at the table. Our second and final order of business today is Senate Bill 61, U.S. Presidential Election Popular Vote Compact, sponsored by Senator Wilkowski. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Our office did not receive any amendments to Senate Bill 61, so that brings Senate Bill 61 back before the committee and to final comments. Any final comments from members? Hearing and seeing none, Senator Tobin.
I move version 33-LS0288-B of Senate Bill 61 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objections, Senate Bill 61 moves from committee. Please, Oswald, make sure you sign the paperwork before you leave. I think we're getting done before either of you have to go and make your bill presentations. We will now adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 19th at 1:30 p.m. Please note that the start time on Wednesday may be delayed because on Wednesday I have a bill up in Senate Finance at the same time, and so we may be delayed at that time, but at this time we stand adjourned. The time is now 1:51 p.m.